The Tanya for the 28th of Shvat is in chapter 25, Perek Chaf Hei, on page 335. The Alter Rebbe is talking about the Yetzer Hara that tries to prevent a Jew from doing positive mitzvahs, to not strain himself and to not go out of his way to do the mitzvah. And there are other similar matters where the Yetzer Hara uses its wiles, its tricks, to cool the enthusiasm which a person has for mitzvahs, with the argument that a person shouldn't waste his money or squander his health. So where he has to make an effort, the Yetzer Hara argues that it's not good for his health, and where he has to give a little more tzedakah than he feels comfortable with, the Yetzer Hara claims that that's squandering one's money. So the person has to have the strength, shela made negde, ulekov shei karev meidel ha'adam. So this struggle to stand up against the Yetzer Hara and to overcome it is very close to the person. It's easily attainable. When he will take to heart that to overcome the Yetzer Hara in these matters, and even in bigger, more difficult matters, the law says, and to do the exact opposite of what the Yetzer Hara is leaning towards, is demanding. So all of this is it is much easier, a much less suffering, the suffering of death, God forbid. The Yisurei Miso, and the pain of death, Hashem Yishmerein. Hoyom Mekabo Biavo Verotzein. The pain of death, the person, would accept willingly and lovingly, as we were saying earlier, Shelei Lepored Miyichudei Ve'achdusei Yisborech Afilu Lefisho, Le'ishtach HaVeslavei Dezorech HaSvisholem, that a person will not allow himself to be separated from God's oneness, not even temporarily, by bowing to an idol, God forbid. So he's willing to suffer the pain of death and the pain of exerting oneself or giving away some money is a much lesser pain, a much easier pain to tolerate than the pain of death. So the kol shken sheyesh lo lekabel biavo v'rotzein kedei ledavka bei le'olam v'od. How much more so should he be willing to do the mitzvah in spite of the fact that it demands some effort and some strain? Because, number one, it is a much lesser pain, a much lesser sacrifice than the pain of death. And secondly, in the act itself, in the performance of the mitzvah, he accomplishes something that he does not accomplish by giving up his life rather than bowing to an idol. In not bowing to the idol, he is maintaining whatever relationship he has with God. He refuses to bow to the idol so that his relationship not suffer. So he's preventing a loss by not bowing to the idol. But he's not creating any actual new bond with God that wasn't there before. Whereas when he does the mitzvah, he is creating through that mitzvah a bond with God that will last forever. So there are two details here. First of all, in not bowing to an idol, he is preventing a damage. He's not producing a positive good. He's preventing the loss of some positive good. Secondly, that loss will be temporary, because sof kol sof will do tshuva. Sof kol sof, everybody does tshuva. So that the separation is, by its very nature, a temporary thing. Evil is temporary. Whereas the mitzvah, when he does the mitzvah at some expense, either of time, or either of effort, or of money, here he's doing two things. First of all, he's creating a positive connection to God that he didn't have before, a dveikus that wasn't there before, which every mitzvah produces a new dveikus. So he's creating a positive thing for himself. And secondly, this new creation is permanent, whereas the separation, the damage of bowing to an idol, would be temporary. Hainu, kishyaser etzene yisbarich ba'aveda zu. When a person will do God's will in this aveda, whether it's the davening, the learning, or the tzedakah, which is Torah aveda and gemilus chasodim, yisgale bo pnimis ratzon ha'elyein bebechinas ponim v'gilui rav v'loy behester klal. He will reveal within himself the inner part of God's will, and it will be revealed totally, without any restraint, without any obscurity. And where there is no hester ponim, where there's no concealment, azai ein dover nifra klalu klal, then there's no separation at all. Because only when there's a concealment of godliness does the created being experience itself as something separate from God. But where there is no concealment, where God's will is operative, where God's will is revealed and experienced, then there is no separation from God. As a result of this mitzvah, his nefesh, the godly soul, and the animal soul, and the garments of the soul, kulon miyuchodes betachlis hayichud, berotzen ha'elyein ve'edein sev baruch hu kenal, will become completely, the godly soul, the animal soul, and the garments, thought, speech, and deed, will become completely one with God's will, as we learned earlier. That through the act of a mitzvah, the garments of the soul, the energy that the person uses with which to perform that mitzvah becomes like a limb to the king, the bittul of a limb to the nefesh. And in learning Torah, the bittul is even greater, and therefore the oneness is even greater. It becomes the king himself. And that's because where God's will is revealed, there is no klippa, there is no separation, and the person, the soul, the animal soul, and the garments all become one with God. And even the body, even the physical body, becomes a chariot for godliness. But that's not the same bittul. The bittul of the chariot is not as great as the bittul of the limb to the body, and it is certainly not one with the soul. The limb with the soul, and it's certainly not the bittul of kul achad, of becoming one with the soul itself. In the Hayem Yeim for the 28th of Teves, of Shrat, Chof Ches Shrat, the Rebbe writes, Achas Miteiris HaBaal Shem Tev, one of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tev. He says, Ki Sire Chamer, the Pasuk says, when you see the donkey, so that Baal Shem Tev explained, Kasha Tistakel Bi'iyun Tev, V'Hachemer Shaloch Shehu HaGuf, when you see the donkey, when you look carefully, when you scrutinize, the chamer, chamer means material, the mundane material that is your body, tideh, then you will see that seinacho shehu seine es haneshoma hamizgagas lalikus viruchnis. You will see that the body is an enemy. It hates. It hates your neshama because the neshama yearns for godliness and ruchnis. The aid tideh. Another thing you will see is Shehu Reveit Tachas Masoi, which means Shenosam HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaHaguf SheYizdachich Al Yedei Torah Mitzvos, that God gave the body the opportunity to be elevated and refined through Torah and Mitzvos, VaHaguf Misatzel BeKiyumam, but the body, the Chamer, is Reveit Tachas Masoi, it is collapsed under its load, it is lazy, it doesn't want to fulfill its purpose. So it may occur to you that v'chadalta me'azevlei, that you might desist from helping it, you might ignore it, sheyuchal l'kayim shlichusei, you won't help it fulfill its mission, ki im taschil b'sigufim, you will start torturing the body, lishber es hachumiyus, trying to break the material, the mundane body. Hinelei b'zu haderech. So Baal Shem Tov says this is not the way. Not through this way will yishken ei hateira. This is not how you bring down the light of Torah. Kiyim, how then? Ozev tazev imei. You have to work with the donkey. Levadet es haguf o lezachache. You have to purify the body and cleanse the body. Velo lishabri b'sigufim. And not to break it with mortifications. Mendel Futifas tells a story when he was in Russia in prison. He was listening to the other prisoners, to the non-Jews. They would relate their life stories, and he would try to learn a lesson from it. One of the prisoners told him how he used to capture wild horses. And one of the details of the story was that they would find in every herd of wild horses in the Russian steppes, they would find two or three horses who were outstanding. They would drive the herd into a river that had a strong current, and the horses would swim to the other side, and two or three out of every herd would stop when they would arrive at the other side and look back to see how the weaker horses were doing. And if a horse was having trouble with the current, these stronger horses, the exceptional horses, would swim back into the river to pull the others out. Those would be the ones, this guy says, those were the ones we would run after, and no matter how long it took, we would chase them and finally capture them and then break them in. And the way to break them in, well, they were very lively, spirited horses, and it wasn't easy to break them in, but they would beat them, he says, with rubber hoses, never with a stick, because we wouldn't want to break anything. And once those horses were trained, once those horses were broken in, they were worth 10 times as much as the average horse. And Reb Mendel understood that as a mashal for the animal soul of a Jew. The nefesh habahamis of a Jew comes from klipas nega, so although it's an animal, but it's a special animal, an animal with a little edelkeit to it, it feels for another horse. And such an animal you don't break. Such an animal you don't damage. On the contrary, you train it, you make a useful horse out of it, and then it takes you where you need to go, and it fulfills its purpose, and so on, and then it is worth 10 times as much as the average horse.